closer as I sit somewhere under the Chinook's whooping rotary blades. We've been spotted by a large group of enemy fighters, a couple of hundred at least, and their angry response is a rowdy launch of little lead wasps, each one approaching with an increasing velocity and brightness as they scream by in their incandescent fury. Anticipation grabs at my chest. I'm being wind blasted from the air rushing through our windows, every glass pane on board smashed in to cool the oppressive desert heat outside. Air conditioning, British military style. The heavy smell of aviation fuel has clung to my nostrils for a while, but as the helicopter descends ever more rapidly, an all too familiar stench takes over. Sweet and pungent, the desert environment has a whiff all of its own. A weird blend of human and animal sewage, vegetation, dirt and body odour. The filthy essences mixed into an intensely rich and warm perfume. I can almost taste the habitation, the stink of mud buildings, the straw roofs, animal feed, dirty water and tangy manure. The rotten detritus cook in the hot daylight, and even at night time the smells never stop wafting across the sand. During missions that involve a slow approach by land, there is an almost undetectable change in smell as we advance. My senses are often attacked subtly by aroma, kilometre by kilometre. Dropping rapidly out of the sky in a helicopter delivers a swift shock to the system, and the odours blast and tingle the hairs in my nostrils. After several years of working in arid war zones, this reaction had become a trigger point, a warning I was moving into trouble. In the military, we referred to those instinctive feedback loops as combat indicators, essential sign of looming conflict. On the ground, one of these triggers might have been something that didn't look quite right at the side of the road, a dug-up mound of earth maybe, or a hint of some recent enemy activity, such as the not-so-subtle planting of an IED by an amateur. It was always a subconscious alarm bell, and my body and senses seemed to come alive with the realisation. I'm in a helicopter, I'm surrounded by teammates, and I know that smell. A fight was coming. Goosebumps prickled my skin. Kylie Minogue sang softly, sweetly into my earphones. My iPod shuffled, delivering a surreal soundtrack to a night op turned to hell, when it could have easily thrown out something more befitting of the vibe, like the angry riffing of Iron Maiden or AC/DC. And then a blast of pain hammered at my legs, an intense throbbing that seemed to begin in my kneecaps and wrenched at my thighs. Oh no, no. No, 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 please not a hit. I peer down nervously and squint into the gloom. I haven't caught a bullet or shrapnel splinter. Instead, the stress of incoming fire has tweaked my body's sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight response, and I've instinctively grabbed at the knees, my fingers locking around the quad muscle in a white-knuckled grip as I painfully clutch at the flesh. Blowing away a sigh of relief, I pull back and try to reassure myself that everything is going to be okay. I'm not going to cop around, not on this job. Weirdly though, there is no release from the throbbing sensation in my legs. Even once I've grabbed at the barrel of my gun for comfort, I wince. It isn't my knees I've been clutching in terror. I've been squeezing the soldier next to me, and he's been squeezing me. We look at each other, realising that a surreal moment of accidental tenderness has briefly unfolded. The pair of us kitted out in body armour ammo, shock and awe weaponry. We've been touching each other's thighs. We giggle nervously like it was a weird first date. Two soldiers about to land in the middle of a gunfight, rounds pinging past us, our helicopters dropping into the heart of a village brimming with enemy fighters, armed with AK-47 machine guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers. Both of us feeling embarrassed at a split second of unintentional intimacy. It seems funny for a second or two, unless you really think about it. A shout goes up from the back of the chopper. 3 minutes. The call is echoed down the line of waiting fighters from ramp to cockpit, every voice reaffirming to the next man that it's go time. 3 minutes during which nobody should be in any doubt that a proper scrap is about to kick off. 3 minutes until we land. 3 minutes of helplessness, of not being in control of anything. With the Chinook's ramp slowly opening, I can assess our situation more clearly. Toyota Land Cruisers have pulled up underneath us, heavy machine guns mounted on the rear, the shooters on the back blowing the grainy green sky